lift me up and let me stand by faith on heaven's stable land. By your grace then I have found, Lord, let my feet on higher ground.
It's a good life. Coming to you from Central Baptist Church, located at 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We've been looking at the birth of Jesus Christ. And we've seen a couple of things so far, but I'd like to continue looking at this, his birth. And I see that his birth was no accident. It was planned. There was nothing left to chance concerning the birth of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 7:14 says, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel." So we see that his birth was no accident. And we see that his birth was perfectly planned. There was no doubt that Jesus was born of a virgin, according to the verse I just read. And we understand that his birth involved power, the power of the Holy Spirit. Luke chapter 1, verse 35, "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." How could this be? Luke 1:37 answers that and says, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." We know that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, and it was by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus Christ was conceived. The power of God. We also see that his birth involved a promise. Luke chapter 1, verse 27, "To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." Nothing was left to chance. This was a promise. Well, what was Mary's promise to God? She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Mary was pure before the miraculous conception of Christ. She had never been with a man, and she would remain pure until the birth. She had resolved to accept the will of God. Well, we see Joseph also, the adopted father of Jesus. Joseph's promise. He promised God something. He did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, according to Matthew chapter 1, verse 24, where it says, "Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife." We see the commitment of purity of Mary and Joseph was carried out, ensuring that Jesus was conceived and born of a virgin. His birth was no accident, and his birth was perfectly planned. And I also see by studying the Word of God that his birth supplied something. We now come to what all of this means to us. What did the birth of Jesus Christ mean? Well, Gabriel, he reveals what this child would do for all men. Notice this, the Savior. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." You see, his name reveals who he is. He would be called Jesus. Jehovah is salvation. In other words, Jesus was no common, ordinary child. He was sent of God to redeem fallen man. He came that he might provide the means of our salvation. Notice the Son in Luke chapter 1, verse 32. It says, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest." Mary was to bear a son, but he was a special son. He was the Son of the Highest. He was the very Son of God, the only begotten of the Father. The fullness of time had come, and the Messiah was to be born. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law." The plan and will of God was about to be confirmed, and carried out in the birth of his son. The greatest moment of all time was about to take place in the birth of Jesus. The one who created the world was about to humble himself in the form of a man. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 9, "But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man." The Creator was about to become dependent upon his creation as a helpless child. The hands of Mary, the hands that he had created in his mother's womb, in her mother's womb, would soon caress his tender face. Those tiny hands that would grasp her finger were the hands of creation. The tiny babe that she would hold was the one who stood on nothing and spoke it all into existence. She was about to look into the eyes of God in the flesh, the Savior of the world. Notice the word sovereign. He will reign upon the throne of David, we're told, and over the house of Jacob forever. Luke chapter 1, verse 32 through 33, it says, "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." The King of Kings and Lord of Lords was to be born in Bethlehem. He came the first time as a humble babe, the sacrificial lamb. He will return the second time as the mighty God, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, to establish his kingdom in righteousness and judge sin and Satan. Those of Mary's day never accepted him as the sovereign Lord. Many in our day continue to reject and dismiss Jesus. Well, one day the world will see him as he is. One day all will bow the knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Romans chapter 14 and verse 11, it says, "For it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God." Now we've looked at, we've dealt with the miraculous conception and birth of our precious Lord. His miraculous birth paved the way for countless other miraculous births. That is, the miracle of the second birth. John chapter 3 and verse 3 says, "Jesus answered and said unto him," now Jesus here is speaking to Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." John chapter 3 and verse 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again." And then in John chapter 3, verse 17 and 18, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." And then in John chapter 3 and verse 36, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Had he not come and died for our sin, we would have no means of salvation. Because of what Jesus did, we too have the opportunity to be born again into the family of God. Have you experienced that supernatural birth? There is still time today. Jesus came for you. In Luke chapter 19 and verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." You need to come to him today if you've never trusted him as your Lord and Savior. I heard one man speak recently about the Jewish people, how that the Jewish people believe, and they've been told so many times, "You crucified the Lord. You are the ones who killed our Savior. You are the ones who crucified Jesus Christ." Well, let me say this, that it wasn't the Jew. It was me. My sin nailed Jesus to the cross. You see, Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for me that I might be made the righteousness of God through him. Jesus Christ lived a sinless, perfect life. I did not live a sinless, perfect life. Jesus Christ said, "I've come to save you." And there was one time and one day when I said, Jesus Christ, I need you as my Lord and Savior. How could he do that? Because he became sin for me. He took upon himself my sin upon the cross of Calvary. Oh, he led a sinless, perfect life. And then he went to the cross and he became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him, in him. Jesus Christ came to seek and to save those who were lost. He came to seek and to save me. He came to seek and to save you. And if you've trusted him as your Lord and Savior, especially this time of year, we should look to him and say, thank you, Lord, for coming. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making it possible for me to be able to serve the living God. I don't know if you've ever stopped to think about this, but the Holy Spirit resides in you if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Some people do not believe they can be a witness for the Lord after they've been saved. Maybe you have been saved for years and you just don't know that you can be a witness for the Lord. Well, let me say this, the power of the Holy Spirit resides in you. And if you will let God lead and guide you and take you and use you for his honor and glory, give out the word of God. Let God do the work. We're simply a mouthpiece that tell people about Jesus Christ. Our position is, as the saved of God, is to be one who gives out the word, who lets people know that Jesus saves. Jesus is still in the saving business for all these years. Well, let me say that he's always been the Savior. We read about how God saved people in the Old Testament. It's always been the same. It's by the grace of God. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Bible says that Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. You need to believe God today. If you've never trusted him as your Lord and Savior, you need to believe that he came to seek and to save you. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That word everlasting means forever. No one can take that life from you because God gave it. God gave life to you by his Son hanging on that cross and shedding his blood for you. Remember this. Without the birth of Christ, there would be no cross. Without the cross, the birth of Christ is useless. But thank God there was a birth of Jesus Christ, my Lord. Thank God there was a cross of Jesus Christ, my Lord. He gave his life for me. He lived a sinless, perfect life that I could have salvation, that I could have heaven. Won't you trust him today as your Lord and Savior? It's so important, especially this time of year, to remember that Jesus Christ, that this is what this time of year is about. Christmas is about Jesus Christ, the birth of our Lord. And it's about so much more than that. It's about the Savior who came into the world to seek and to save those who were lost. Trust him today as your Lord and Savior. And once again, let me remind you, you as a saved person, you have a responsibility, a privilege, to let other people know that you're saved and that you're serving God by telling them how they too can go to heaven. Don't you want to see more people in heaven one day? Ask Jesus to give you the strength to let other people know that Jesus saves. Let him use you today to let other people know that Jesus Christ wants to save them. May the Lord bless you richly this time of year, and may you be serving the Lord.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.